WRIF HD2 Detroit.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
Nerds! Nerds!
You're listening to Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
All right, man, it's another week of Nerd Radio on Rift 2, Jefferson.
That's right. Another Wednesday, another Nerd Radio.
How the hell are you?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah. It's well-received. Well-received. That weather out there, Jesus.
Ugh.
Coming in tonight. Certainly doesn't feel like April.
No.
I mean,
right now it doesn't, but
right.
I heard that Wednesday is supposed to be pretty
It's supposed
nice.
To be better.
Yeah.
So let's act like it's Wednesday. Man, yeah. that weather's
nice. Ooh, dang.
Feels like April.
Oh, heck yeah.
It's the magic of radio.
I'm all about that.
Right there. Hey, so I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Because, you know, I usually wait on games. Have you ever gotten to a game too late for, like, the online capabilities to be useful?
Not really.
No? You're usually on top of that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, if I get in a game that's a little older and it has an online capability, most of the time I wouldn't be too interested in it anyway.
Okay.
So if I bought one that's no longer online, then
well, then
I would
let me
just
ask you
like,
another question. If you got a new game, even though you didn't get it for the online capability,
mm-hmm.
would you try it? Even though just because it's there?
Maybe.
Did you try the Uncharted when we played that last
year? I did not, which is kind of why I'm saying maybe. Because I feel like I would.
Right.
But I know for a fact I didn't.
Okay.
So I don't know if I would.
Right. Well, because, you know, I said a couple of months ago that I logged on to like Team Fortress 2 on the Xbox and there were still a bunch of people playing. So you never know. But it's more along the lines of like whenever.
People love the game.
Whenever on your friends list has, you know, like played the game months ago and you're like, well, I guess I'm on my own.
Yeah.
That's how I feel playing Saints Row 4 now. Like, I shouldn't have waited. I should have jumped right on that game when it came
out.
They're supposed to be making, not another Saints Row, but like I think it's the company that makes Saints Row is making a new game. They just announced like last week. They did a video of it or something. I can't remember what it's called.
It better be comedy because...
Oh, yeah. No, it's still very much in the same vein as Saints Row. I have to look it up. Hey, so I went back to that that 3 and Up place.
Okay, like, yeah.
That board game place mm-hmm. with my friend Stace and Mark. I told you about Timelines. We played that again.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrible.
Oh, no.
I was really good at it the first time. It's like bowling. Whenever I go bowling, I'm really good the first time. And then when I start trying to put some thought into it and think about what I'm doing, I just botch it all up. I'm terrible.
I feel like I've gained a modicum of bowling skill. So, like, I've gotten to the point where actually thinking about how I throw things makes a difference.
Right. Maybe if I play more Wii bowling.
Hey, there you go, for sure.
It's the same, you know, basic muscle memory, whatever.
Yeah, except for not holding a freaking huge, weighty ball.
Well, yeah, there is that.
That's not what she said. Don't think about that. You're asking me a question.
No, I went to the I went there and we played that game. We also played a game that was called I'm forgetting the names of everything tonight. It was some kind of like nerd version of Trivial Pursuit. Like you had the five
Nerdial Pursuit?
I guess.
No, I just made that
you
up.
You had like the five different colors and like the yellow stuff was for sci-fi, the blue stuff was for comic books, the red stuff, you know, like, and you would draw a card. You would roll a dice first that would give you the color you want, and then one of the people at the table would draw a card and ask you if you could name X amount of something. Like, can you name five comic book weapons, iconic comic book weapons?
Sure.
And you would either go, no, I can't do that, or you'd be like, yeah, I can name five, and then you go around the table upping the ante. Like the next person go, I can name six. But you don't want to give your opponents ammo.
No, absolutely not.
You know, so it's you wait until somebody bids on it, and then it's kind of fun in a because sometimes there was one or two times where it was like, can you name four fictional languages? And I knew I couldn't, but they already had it up to five. And I'm like, six.
Right, yeah. So it's a bluffing game too.
Right, right. Yeah, you're hoping that nobody calls your bluff. And then you're like, no, I was lying. I can't name six.
They just don't even attempt it.
Right.
And that's the tough part because it's got to go around.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was, but if you think you've got your nerd cred, then
yeah, and then you can just go ahead and be like, yeah, I can name 10.
Right, right, yeah.
And then the next person is going to be like,
one of the guys.
I know you can, and I can't, so I guess I have to take the penalty.
Right. See, one of the guys that we were playing with would always we would up it by one, and he would always up it by two. I'm like, whatever, dude. Every time we'd up by two, I was like, go ahead. But at the same time, every time the comic book category would come up, like one of them was literally like, can you name five, you know, iconic weapons, comic book weapons? And I was like, yeah, I can name five easy. And everyone else was like, I can't name five. I was like, I can name five within the Avengers franchise alone. Here you go. I think one of them was like, can you name two comic book villains that have turned good? And I anteed it up to like six or seven.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, like, this is going to be so easy. Because that's my wheelhouse, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, I felt like you would do very well.
Right,
in that
but,
game.
You know, at like every other category, I was just terrible at. Oh. One of them was, can you name X amount of characters in the Firefly / Serenity franchise? And my friend Stacy, who took the category, anteed it all the way up to 10.
Well,
and
yeah,
she was just rattling them right off. She didn't even, there were ones like Zoe or Wash she didn't even use. She was like Manny and the guy that's in like one episode that does this one thing, and I'm like, oh yeah, that guy. Oh, you're right, I can't fault you.
Jeez.
We played one more game while we were there too. It's a like a card game called Bang.
I've played that one, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a it's like a spaghetti western where like you've got four characters. And,
okay, I haven't played that one.
Okay, no, you've got four characters and one of them's the sheriff and two of them are outlaws and then one of them is like the
shot the sheriff.
Right. Well, one of them is the renegade and the object of the outlaws is to eliminate the sheriff. The object of the renegade is to eliminate the outlaws and then the sheriff.
Oh shoot!
To keep the keep the sheriff alive for last, and then kill him. And the object of the sheriff is to eliminate the outlaws. But nobody knows who is supposed to be who, except for the sheriff, because that lets everybody know what the target is. I don't know. Like, it was explained to me really quickly, and we only played one round of it. I feel like if I'd have played it a couple more times,
you would have gotten some strategy in there.
Yeah, I'd have gotten a better grasp of it. But I like that it has little plastic bullets for your life. And you just line them up in front of you whenever you get shot. And it's got it's not Emperor Magic, but when you've got a 3-on-3 team in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, that's Emperor.
Is it? And then like the two guys on the outside can hit the two guys on the inside, but you have to eliminate one to get to the next one, to get to the Emperor. It's like that.
Gotcha.
You got the four people, and like you can only get the guy in your left and right, but you can get the guy over here if you eliminate one of these two.
Uh-huh. That does sound really cool.
It's all right. It was, like I said, I feel like if I'd have played it a couple more times, maybe I'd have understood it a little better.
Mm.
But it was fun times. And 3 and Up is it's a neat idea, man.
Yeah, for sure.
A kind of a bar that doesn't have alcohol. They serve Faygo and juice. I had some animal crackers. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I bet that makes you feel really
big
and manly.
There was four or five people playing Pokemon cards when we were
That's
there.
That's pretty
like
great.
All night. They were
Would
just,
they teach you how to play that too?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, the people
That's
that
pretty
yeah,
great.
The people that work there know how to play most of the games. So if you need suggestions or you don't know how to play a game, they will sit with you for a game and figure out how to play you.
Gotcha.
That's how they taught us to play Exploding Kittens the last time we were there. We didn't know how that worked.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty fun. They got a lot of old games too, old board games people donate and stuff. You know, stuff like Candyland or Connect Four.
Right, yeah.
But they, up on the...
you don't really need any descriptions for Candyland. You just roll.
They had up on the rack Trump the Game.
Oh, no.
From like way back in the 80s.
Oh,
that was
no.
Thing. Or like Star Wars Battleship. Electronic Star Wars Battleship.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, neat.
That's actually just pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's neat just that from a nostalgia point of view to look them over and be like, wow, that exists. That's cool.
Yeah, that's a game.
I try to talk my friends into playing Settlers of Catan because I know how that works.
Yeah.
And they turned it to one of them, Stacy, turned it down like immediately. So I think there's a bad Settlers of Catan story there that I need to ask her about. I think she's hyper competitive when it comes to Settlers of Catana. She just didn't want
that
to.
Could do it. Yeah,
didn't want to get angry at somebody. I don't know, but it was a good time. And you know, I went there with my girlfriend Amy. She wiped the floor with us on more than one occasion. Like, I think she won every game of Timelines. I think she won that game of Nerd Trivia.
Oh, jeez.
She was just destroying us. It was crazy.
Yeah, I got to check that place out sometime soon.
Yeah, it's like right near your neck of the woods out there, I believe. But it is pretty cool. So let's hit a song.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we will come back and talk about some more nerd stuff.
We sure will.
All right, it's Nerd Radio. Riff 2.
It's Wednesday night. Time for Nerd Radio on Riff 2.
Oh my God. That's not a witness. He is broken in half.
Whew. It is Nerd Radio, Riff 2. It's been a hell of a couple of weeks as far as wrestling is concerned, and your Squared Circle Round Table, which is a one-on-one match tonight, is prepared to fill you in on all of it. Erica.
Chuck.
How's it going?
It's been busy as
it
all
has.
Get out.
You would think, because we would have done this last week, because WrestleMania was 2 weekends ago, but then they announced the Monday after WrestleMania, which is an event in and of itself.
Right.
That this past week would be a superstar shakeup, which is a fancy way of saying a mid-season draft, I guess.
Even though it wasn't technically a draft, they just kind of shot from the hip and people showed up.
People just showed up on the, which was exciting. But we'll get to the shakeup. Let's rewind all the way back to WrestleMania weekend and all the excitement that was WrestleMania weekend. What are some of the things that you remember from 2 weeks ago that really not so much shocked you, but you really, really enjoyed that weekend?
I remember just being incredibly pleased with the entire WrestleMania as a whole.
Yeah.
Period. Because, you know, and I don't know if I went in with low expectations and was just blown away.
I think it was hard not to go in expecting the worst after last year's WrestleMania, which was not horrible, but definitely was not what we wanted.
Right.
And that's why the Monday ended up being such a big deal, because it was kind of a, okay, I didn't give you what you wanted Sunday night, so here's Enzo and Cass, and here's this guy, and here's, you know. But yeah, it was really, I would say for at least the first 3 hours, it was really solid.
It honestly, like, they're like the weakest part. Like even the matches that I had no interest in.
Yeah, no investment.
Like Goldberg and Lesnar, I was very pleased with that match. Considering it was 5 minutes, 4 moves, 5 if you count a leapfrog.
Right.
Yeah, I was very impressed. The Shane-AJ Styles match, way better than I thought.
Yeah.
It was going to be.
I think we'd said on the show the week before that it was going to very much hinge on how well AJ Styles could make Shane look good.
Right.
And I was not disappointed.
Well, Shane, you know, helped himself too. I mean, he's how old, and he's like, well, I'm going to do a shooting star press. Whee!
Yeah.
And not land on my head.
Oh, yeah.
Brock?
No, I remember seeing that and being like, wow, Shane can do that.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Honestly, it's one of those things where, has he ever done that before?
I don't ever remember seeing that.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember seeing that move.
Yeah, but I mean, he's...
out of Shane McMahon.
Yeah, I mean, he's late 40s, damn near 50, if not already there.
He's got all the little Shane McMahons at ringside with him.
That's true. Well, at least, like, they didn't go out with him, like, last year.
Yeah.
Which was mildly awkward, but I think they only did that because it was his big return.
I wonder if all the kids that are around the same age, like let's say Shane's boys and Steph's girls and like maybe Goldberg's son and, you know, all the other kids, I wonder if they like have a meetup, like a play date at any point during the year.
If there's just a daycare room where all the kids just hang out.
They're just hanging out, the TV's on so you can watch mom and dad wrestle and do the thing and be entertaining and...
It's gotta be. I mean, this is another conversation for another day. But yeah, Stephanie has 3 girls. Shane has 3 boys. What's the future of the company gonna look like? Whoa!
Right.
Like that's gonna be a drama in and of itself.
Yeah, that's true. That's a reality show waiting to happen.
Yeah,
right there.
If they're smart.
Seeing as it's just me and you, and we're kind of the NXT
that's true
stalwarts of this. Let's talk about TakeOver for a second. Once again, the way TakeOvers work is very great because it's a very short, you know, like it was 5 matches.
Mm-hmm.
It's only about 2 hours, I think, total. And, you know, it's always like start to finish. It's just all, like, what do you say? All killer, no filler.
Yes.
However, I really get the feeling after, I'd say about a year ago, when the when they started doing these takeovers on the big event weekends, and they just killed it on Saturday, I feel like there's been some kind of like editorial pull the reins a little bit on NXT's.
I think it has to do with the talent. Yeah. Truth be told, you know, I don't think, I mean, the talent is getting better, but it just wasn't as strong as when you had Owens in NXT, Sami Zayn in NXT, Cesaro, just Bayley, you know, Bayley,
Sasha,
all pretty much, you know, the bulk of the women's division on the main roster now was in NXT together. You know, I think there's some growing pains right now. They're bringing in new folks, and I think it's good. I don't think they're bad.
No,
it's just they're not delivering those crazy, oh my God, how's the main roster going to top this style matches? With the exception of that tag match, holy hell!
Once again, I don't think it outdid the match that was just DIY and Revival.
Right.
However, it did what it needed to do, and it, in my opinion, was the match of the night.
I mean, there's no question.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close. And as much as I love Shinsuke and Rude and whatnot, it's just, come on. Come on.
Yeah. No, you couldn't compete with that. And it, like I said, it did what it was meant to do, and that was make the Authors of Pain look amazing.
Right.
And while it was up to DIY and Revival to have the real high spots and the hot tags and stuff like that, they did still do a fantastic job of making the Authors of Pain look impressive.
Well, then
look like a couple of monsters.
You had DIY and oh my God,
why the Revival?
Revival. I almost said Authors of Pain. I'm like, no, the other ones. The ones I really, really like.
Right. Having them change up their moves was amazing.
Their finishers like team up together.
Yeah. One guy from the Revival and one guy from DIY do like the Revival's finisher, and then a couple seconds later the other two do the DIY's finisher. It's just like, yes, this is good. I think going back to the shakeup, I think the fact that DIY is still on the NXT roster, it does speak to the fact that you can't just pillage NXT once a year, even every 6 months, because then there will be a bunch of people that we don't know or have a lot invested in for NXT for 6 months while you try and build them back up.
Yeah,
but it does feel kind of like they got to be next. They got to be next in line.
Oh, they have to be next in line. I mean, the Revival were long overdue. But I think they kept them down there because their tag division was just meh at best. Now they have DIY there. They can lead the charge. They can work with the up and coming teams.
Yep.
I mean, for Authors of Pain, for what they are, you know, I mean, sure, that style of tag team is, you know, not my bag.
Yeah, same here. It's not something I look for. It's just like we were talking about Goldberg and Lesnar.
Right.
It's like the two big guys just bumping into each other is not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
But yeah, those guys, they do what they do very well.
Yes.
I do enjoy the powerbomb thing they do where they hit the guys,
that
clack them together, and then powerbomb them. If they ever get the timing of that perfect, like it's going to look fantastic.
Right.
Because one always drops them before the other one.
They'll work on it. They'll get it together.
For sure. And it was another, like, I don't think Asuka and Ember Moon really lived up to expectation, but it was great to finally see them clash. Because as soon as I saw Ember Moon, it was like, that's going to be a match, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I'm real excited for, they had the Sanity versus the other four people. I'm really excited for Ruby Riott. I've heard amazing things about her from the indie circuit, and I can't wait to see her, what she can do on NXT. I love Nikki Cross.
I think they still have some work to do, but I think those women, with their, just from their style and not like physically,
but they've got
their
very
wrestling style. They're both their looks.
Yeah, they've got a very different look from any of the other women on the roster, which is great.
Yeah, because they had a few spots during their match that were a little murky.
Yeah,
but you know, I think it was like Ruby Riott's first big pay-per-view. Absolutely. So it's like, okay, whatever. And she's still very new.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very, very new.
And you had Cassius Ohno and Roderick Strong in there, who, right. speaking of the future of NXT, those guys are definitely the right. future of NXT. And Eric Young's Sanity faction, I think,
I
is going to be...
Sanity.
They're going to be really, really fun, you know, once they... They're kind of like a new Wyatt family for
sort
NXT.
Sort of, without all the culty-ness.
Yeah, with all the, like, redneck-y kind of stuff going on, but... I love how Eric Young's like throaty hoarse voice, how you can hear it in the, you know, on the microphones from the ring,
right?
Whatever he's saying, you can mm-hmm. still make it out. It was cool, but NXT was really good. The Hall of Fame was really nice. It was cool to see.
It's a long night.
It is.
That
it is
a long night.
I was actually. It didn't occur to me until about a week ago. I was telling a friend that they need to do with WrestleMania, basically what they do with. Rock festivals.
Okay.
Like WrestleMania, instead of WrestleMania night being about 7 hours long, you just need to split the card up and make it Saturday night and Sunday night. And yeah. then, you know, like, because you're doing a whole week anyways. You're making it a big to do anyways. And yeah, just make it like a rock festival where, like, you know, your headliner is, let's say, the Chili Peppers and Metallica. Well, they're not both going to play on Saturday. So we're going to put one on Saturday and one on Sunday, and you're both the headliners.
You know, that's not a half bad idea. And if they still book all these massive arenas, yeah. depending on the prices, you know, they could potentially get more money. I mean, oh, obviously yeah. you don't want to be too gougy with the prices.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is, like, if you, like, even for the first couple of years, if you don't double dip on those tickets, if you just, like, look, WrestleMania tickets are still whatever they are and whatever they have been for years with a little bit of inflation, but now you're getting two nights, you know. And then you're still making all the merch money.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
still getting all the money on all the refreshments. You know, the arena's getting all that money.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
I think that's
a good idea. I can't believe they haven't thought about that because, man, was it 7 hours?
It was something like that. It was from 5 o'clock until a little bit after midnight.
That's just too much.
That's why I said, like, the first 3 hours I was locked in, and I was every match. Like, they started with AJ and Shane. I'm like, we're doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin and Chris were next. We're doing this now.
Yeah, I was really surprised at some of the placements.
Yeah.
But, well, let's get back into the WrestleMania card, because you and I could just ramble on about NXT.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I'm sure that, you know, that's what the people came for.
I'll tell you what. Honest. Let's take a breather. Let's do a song. We'll take a breather. We'll come back. We'll talk
Fabulous.
WrestleMania. We'll talk the Monday after, and we'll talk the Superstar Shakeup. It's Nerd Radio on Rift 2, the Squared Circle Roundtable. Comes back in about 3 minutes.
This is Jake the Steak Roberts, and you're listening to Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
All right, sound the bell. It is fall 2 for our Squared Circle Roundtable with Erica and Chuck talking about WrestleMania. WrestleMania is such a big deal for us wrestling fans. That we could talk about it all show.
It really could be a show.
Yeah.
Just an episode of Nerd Radio. which, once again, anybody tuning in for, like, comics
yeah.
or anime or anything else that I know nothing about, be like, what the hell?
Fast forwarding through the podcast right now and going, oh, they're doing another one? Jeez. So, yeah, let's get back into WrestleMania. As we were saying, it was a very strong WrestleMania, even the pre-show.
Pre-show was great, yeah.
Yeah, starting right from the pre-show, the Cruiserweight match was really fantastic. Neville and Austin Aries, and that was when we got our first look at the, 80-yard ramp.
Holy crap! When I saw the ramp, I thought, oh dear God, they're going to have to get that cart, like, during the Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble, where
yeah.
like, they realize... Oh man, people can't be running down this ramp and
Braun Strowman is going to be blown out. The Big Show is going to be blown out. We
yeah.
need a cart, and they didn't. They got a cart for Sasha and Triple H.
Well, and really, Triple H, it was a his big three wheel.
Yeah, his big wheel.
Okay, I think I tweeted this. You may have liked it.
I did.
He is like the biggest theater kid
yeah.
ever. He is a 5, 6, 7, 8 jazz hands away from something magical. And it's just, I'm like, and you, it's, he's just this big guy and he talks like this. I'm like, you, sir, are so flamboyant and you will never, ever realize it.
It cracks me up because I seem to remember at some point years ago, because he always has a huge WrestleMania entrance. And I seem to remember at some point years ago seeing like a backstage thing where he was like, they just come up with a thing. And I'm like, whatever, I'll do it. I just want to get to the ring and get to my match. But all right. Yeah. You know, like it started with, hey, we're going to get Motorhead to play out. And I'm sure he was super pumped about that.
Well, that's cool.
And now it's turned into, yeah, you're going to have a throne and a crown and all this armor, and then we're going to give you a big wheel, and we're going to have a police escort, and Steph's going to be on the back looking like the baddest biker chick on the planet, and it's going to be great.
I mean, probably the best worst one, though, had to have been the Terminator one.
The Terminator one was terrible.
And Triple H's entrance, brought to you by the new Terminator movie.
The Terminator one was absolutely horrible.
It might be one of the first... or one of the few times that an entrance was sponsored.
Yeah, no, I hated that. I hated that so hard. So hard.
But yeah, and that the match delivered for
their
sure.
Their match was great.
Seth and Triple H. I love the spot they worked out for Stephanie. The way it was sold, the way it worked, it was fantastic. You got kind of a completion for the Seth Rollins character and for his story as the Kingslayer.
Right.
You know, his entrance was great with the torch and then setting it down on the ramp and the fire going down the ramp.
Well, I know the big to-do because it was a
non-sanctioned.
Non-sanctioned.
Yeah.
And the people were like, you were given a torch and you didn't bring that to ringside?
Right.
What are you doing?
You know, but how cool was it, too, that they worked out the spot with the sledgehammer? Where, like, you saw the sledgehammer, but it didn't really factor into the match at all.
That's true.
And that was really good ring psychology. That's what I think that match was really perfect for, is ring psychology. It really, really worked out. If you saw a thing, then it did come into play later, but then there were certain things that you expected that would not happen, and we would swerve you to, you know, to make it very cool. But, however... the biggest swerve of the night had to be the return of the Hardy Boys.
It was great. I mean, we all felt a hunch.
You could feel it in your bones. Yeah. They were right down the street doing the Ring of Honor show Saturday. And then if you were on social media at all, you saw the end of the Ring of Honor show and you really got that feeling. I was like, yeah, this is it. This is it. They're coming. And even the way the New Day played it out, like they walked in their gear and they took a step over and then kind of took a step to the side. Mm-hmm. I was at home and I was like, this is it.
It's happening.
And then the bass, the traditional Hardy music.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little weird that we don't have any broken Hardys, but I think we're going to work up to that.
Yeah.
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if them moving to the WWE so quickly out of Ring of Honor has anything to do with, like, okay, if you're going to sue us, then we're going to go to Uncle Vince because he's got all the money in the world and you're not going to match his lawyers.
Right.
So once this, you know, once we get this out of litigation, then we can go back to doing what we want to do.
Well, and Matt Hardy still manages to sneak things
he
in.
He does. He's still,
you know,
wonderful.
Yes. He'll still do just like one solid,
one delete.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes to get the crowd going.
Yeah. Gets them going.
Yeah.
I mean, that was I think that might have been one of the biggest moments of the night, if not the biggest moment of the night. Well, actually, no, I take that back. That was the best positive moment of the night.
Okay.
The biggest moment of the night came at the end, obviously. Yeah,
absolutely. And speaking of the ramp, I'm sure we both looked at that ramp and went, oh my God, Undertaker's entrance is going to be forever. So they cheated and put him in the middle.
Which was brilliant.
Yeah,
great
for sure.
Decision.
Absolutely.
I know. As soon as I'm like, oh my God, it's going to take him 15 minutes to like officially get to the ring, take off his hat, roll his eyes back, let the thunder sound. So it was only clocked in a little over 5 minutes because I set my clock.
It was very smart. It was very smart to start him in the middle so that the entrance didn't overplay itself, especially at the end of the night.
Right. Question, and maybe this was just me, but like as I was watching that match, it was really telling, like, Roman's facial expressions. It rang, it had echoes, if you will, of the "I'm sorry, I love you."
Absolutely.
You know, where his face showed an emotion that made him realize, I gotta put him down.
Yeah, it was kind of I don't want to be the guy.
Yeah.
Takes the Undertaker away from everybody, but this is where I am now.
And I don't think, you know, because there's just so much venom around Roman as a wrestler. I'm sure he seems like a lovely human, and there's a part of me that does feel bad for him because like he didn't ask for this.
The Monday after,
Which was brilliant, by the way.
That went so long, I did start to feel bad for him. But at the same time, every time he would pull the mic up to his face, they'd start chanting something like, shut the F up, or they would just start booing him hard. After the first time, his face was the character it needed to be. But I know on the inside, he had to be giggling like a kid, because it's like, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I got you. I got you. You guys are just, I can play like a fiddle right now.
it was honestly, that was probably one of the best opens of a Raw ever.
Yeah.
Or at least in recent memory. They just played it beautifully. Yep. What was it? This is my yard now. So five words. And then also, boo! Cut to the whatever card they were doing. I'm like, planned that perfectly.
It's the kind of thing where we can, as fans, because we are fans, we don't really have any inside or insight to what how the inner workings work. But even as fans, you look at something like that, and we'll say so many times, Vince McMahon doesn't know what he's doing. This is dumb. Why aren't they doing
exactly what he's doing?
And you see something like that. And, yeah, they knew exactly what to, they knew Sunday night what Monday was going to open with. Mm-hmm. They knew it perfectly. And they did a fine job with it.
I think, though, in due time, Roman will get props for like how that match went.
I'm sure.
You know, I know.
I think I said the week before that I was going to be cringing the whole time because The Undertaker, I feel like he's so old, he's made of glass now.
Yeah.
And everything Roman does looks painful.
Yeah.
Not that it looks stiff. It just, he's very good at making his stuff look impactful.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm sure he did a fine job protecting The Undertaker throughout the match, as well as, you know, letting him hit his spots.
Mm-hmm.
I was sad that now that The Undertaker is more than likely gone forever, that no one has ever punched him in the hat. When he pulls the hat down and he's going to do the thing, like, just once I wanted to see somebody go like super heel and punch him in the hat and start the match that way. You would lose because now you pissed him off.
Well, yeah, but, of course.
It would have been fantastic. Punch him in the hat. I don't know about you, but I started to, I really started to tap out after Triple H and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
We still had four matches to go, and mm-hmm. I was starting to think, because the SmackDown Women's match hadn't happened yet, I was starting to get real worried it wasn't gonna.
Yeah.
Placing it second to last is real weird in the card, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what you put as a cooler between Brock and Goldberg and Roman and Undertaker, but it was real weird to put it where they did.
Yeah. At least they got out there.
Yeah.
But you could tell they were strapped for time. I mean, yep. A lot of things were rushed.
Yeah.
As far as the Raw Women's title went, they shouldn't have put the title on Bayley going into WrestleMania. That way, when she won, the pop would have been amazing.
Yeah, for her to win at WrestleMania would have been much more impactful.
A huge missed opportunity. In my opinion, of course, what do I know?
Right.
But I mean, I thought, you know, the Raw women's matches were really good. Yeah, the SmackDown one was rushed, but at least they got out there.
Yeah.
Easily could have been cut.
And I'm real curious how you felt about this, because like I said, I started to peter out around like Brock and Goldberg. And then you had Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, which we knew were going to happen deep in the card.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the match, you get that over the ring shot, which we hadn't seen all night,
right?
And then they project the maggots into the ring, and that woke me the F up. I was like, what is this?
I loved that. I feel like they should have only used it once, though.
Yeah.
I think because they used it,
three times,
because there was cockroaches and then something else.
Yeah, worms or something like that.
I felt like, okay, they're overusing the projector.
Right.
But I thought it was a cool effect. I'm very excited.
If it would have led to Bray not losing the match, I think doing it the 3 times would have been, but you know.
It makes no sense that Randy won that match.
Yeah, that we still got the RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And there you go. Whatever. So let's move on. The night after WrestleMania, the Raw, which they've documented last year's on the network and with a WWE 24 special, which is great. I love the backstage stuff. But the next night, like we were saying, Roman comes out and delivers a great promo. The Revival gets called up, which
awesome.
Is, yeah, great, great to see, and injures Kofi. I have to wonder if Kofi was like kind of on a wobbly ankle to begin with.
Because why wouldn't the New Day be booked at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. Something was amok.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to remember who else got called up that on Monday as well. Because Tuesday just blew it out of the water.
Yeah, with Shinsuke.
Yeah, getting Shinsuke back on Shinsuke on SmackDown and Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
Another, you know, long time coming call up. But it was a fantastic show. It's the show we expect on the Monday after WrestleMania, and then Tuesday matched it. Now that SmackDown is live on Tuesdays with, like I said, the call-ups and getting to see what the next couple of months is going to be. But then they announced on Monday that we were going to shake things up this past week, and boy, did they!
They really did.
How are you feeling about the superstar shakeup this past week?
When I watched SmackDown, yesterday. I was surprised that because so many people from SmackDown went over to Raw, I was surprised that they didn't bring up more people from NXT. I thought, I don't know, somebody else would be coming up or something, because it just feels like a lot of, but it does make more, you know, sense that more people left because Raw's 3 hours and stuff. I really like the changes that they made. I like Bray coming back to Raw. Hopefully they'll use him better.
I feel like Bray coming back to Raw is a harbinger to Roman inevitably beating Brock Lesnar and being the champ, and then we have to feed people to Roman, and Bray and Roman have worked before, so let's do it again.
Well, right. Well, what they tease is, you know, the Demon King versus the Eater of Worlds, which I love.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Love. Obviously Finn's probably going to go over, but now you have all the Shield guys on Raw,
which is cool.
You have, okay, so Finn's back. You still have all the guys in the club. So there's still the potential of them joining forces, which is great.
I was a little bitter that AJ didn't move or the club didn't move to Raw or to SmackDown. I want Uncle AJ and Gallows and Anderson back together, because I love them together.
Everyone loves Uncle Allen.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? But I think him saying on SmackDown is great. Because, okay, so look at the top guys on SmackDown. You have AJ Styles. You have now Kevin Owens. You have Sami Zayn. And, who's the fourth? Who am I missing? Damn it.
Is it Baron Corbin?
No, that's not it. That's not it.
That was the main event last night. They do have a bunch of people that, like, you can... once you pull the belt off Randy Orton, you've got a bunch of great programs there.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, there's like four or five guys that are all some of our favorites from the last year. And it's going to be great to see them all interact. It's a little sad that Dean Ambrose, that's the thing that on Monday, the three people that did move that I wish hadn't, but I understand. I'm upset because now they won't get to interact with Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack.
That's
like,
true.
We won't get to see Alexa Bliss interact with Daniel Bryan like, you know, uncool dad anymore. And that sucks. We won't get to see, you pull The Miz off SmackDown when he's had the hottest year of his career. Like, I think there's so much more you could do with The Miz and Daniel Bryan.
I don't know. I mean, because, I mean, what more can they really do? I mean, Daniel Bryan's not going to get back in the ring.
No.
So, I mean, where else can they really go?
I don't know. I just, I get the feeling that, like, The Miz and Daniel Bryan are the new Austin McMahon, but the script has been flipped now. Like, you like
the authority figure
and the guy who's raging against the authority figure, you begrudgingly accept because he backs up what he says he will do.
Right.
And I just
Shinsuke, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. I'm like, why can't I? I remember there was four people. I'm sorry, I did not mean to cut you off, but
it just hit
me like a ton of bricks.
I saw you go to your phone while I was talking. I was like, she's trying to figure it out. She's trying to figure out who else it was.
Yeah, but I mean, those four guys, interchanging them over, because I assume they're probably going to do these shakeups every 6 months.
I would hope so. I would hope that this is kind of a like pre-SummerSlam, post-WrestleMania, we're going to do this all the time. Maybe we'll do a draft pre-SummerSlam and we'll just do the shake-up thing where we don't draft. People just show up on the opposite show. How great was the opening segment on SmackDown where Kevin Owens says, hey, I'm on SmackDown now, and he's talking about the U.S. title, and then Baron Corbin and AJ come out and he's talking smack to them, and then Sammy comes out and he's just like, no, I left to get away from you! No!
Nothing but magic ahead.
Fight forever, you guys. Just fight forever. It's gonna be great. And seeing Sammy and AJ go at it, it was another like, man, I could watch this match a million times.
Right.
These guys are great.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think we've exhausted ourselves, really. I'm sure there's stuff we forgot.
I'm sure there is.
And we'll remember as soon as we leave the studio
today. Of course, as always.
Yeah, But it was another exciting WrestleMania. It is the reason we are fans of wrestling.
Yeah.
Is that weekend. As much as we'll complain about the show being too long, or, you know, about some of the stuff we get that we don't like and some of the stuff we don't get that we wish we could have. It's going to be a neat couple of months now. And I agree. Like, every 6 months, you need to
change it up.
Change it up because you get to the end of the show, and as wrestling fans that watch the show on a weekly basis, we look at it and we start imagining all the feuds we're going to see in the next 6 months, and we get excited all over again. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for coming in, Erica.
Thanks for having me.
We'll do this again in a couple of weeks. We got Payback coming up. It's a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view, and we'll be back. Nerd Radio returns after this.
This is Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
I won nothing. I won absolutely nothing. There's no prize to win here. We're all losers. Welcome to Nerd Radio on Rift 2, your Wednesday night tradition here at 10 p.m. on your HD radio at 101.1 FM. HD Radio 2. We've got Jefferson Moore hanging out in the studio. You're listening to the voice of Chuck Bean. In the studio. The rest of Chuck Bean is scattered around the room because Jefferson is an axe murderer. No, that's not true. However,
get the dragon balls.
What a way to start.
Jeez. Get the dragon balls. We must resurrect him.
However, we do have our good buddy Kyle in the studio as well.
Dragon.
Who's I must got say, the dragon? I've never actually
hey,
been...
Hey, guys, it's me, Kyle, from Rift 2.
I've never actually been accused of being a max murderer. Max murderer?
Max murderer.
A maximum...
I killed a man named Max.
A maximum murderer.
He murdered so many
Full
people. He killed the
death.
Maximum amount of people. No, I've never. So thanks for making that my first.
Hey, it's theater of the mind here.
No, absolutely.
You definitely do have a, what was the name of the character in American Psycho? You do have a look about you.
I don't remember his name.
I know
Christian Bale's the character.
Right,
but.
If you showed me like a card, you know, a business card that you'd just gotten in, I would not be surprised.
I do have a business card.
Oh! Oh, no.
How do you feel about Huey Lewis in the news?
What?
Okay, fair enough. So what did you want to tell me about, Jeff?
Oh, well, I've been playing a game.
Surprise, surprise!
Yeah, right? Super surprising right there. It is an online multiplayer game, which is normally not my wheelhouse, but I've been playing For Honor.
Yeah, you were telling me about this, what was it, a week or two ago?
That's right. And it is, it's actually pretty good. I'm enjoying it a lot.
It's strictly, like I think when we talked about it before, you said it's kind of like a Star Wars Battleground. Like, it's just strictly...
Battlefront,
I'm sorry. It's strictly multiplayer.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not strictly, because there is a story mode. It is also not very good story mode.
Sure.
It's made... Which is fine... You know, it's
made
more,
for that massive. I compared it to Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
and it's just had it has much more of an onus on the gameplay on it for it.
Okay,
in that it's really creative, and there's a lot of different ways you can apply it in every situation. So the multiplayer aspect can go on for quite a while, I think.
Well, give me an example.
Well, the blocking system is you can block in three different directions.
Okay.
And you also use the same buttons to attack in different directions. So it's...
Interesting. All right.
It's different like that.
Yeah.
So I played the beta. I don't actually play the game, but from my experience with the beta for Honor, it kind of has a little system of checks and balances with each character. And you can play any character you want. You can only play one character in the entire game. You can get extremely good at them, and you can just destroy the enemy team because you just know it's kind of one of those games where like it looks easy, but underneath is a system that is so deep for the in terms of the combat that it really just kind of not only does it keep you coming back, but you can truly be battling in a gauntlet or you know. Just really have all that experience and then just go out there in the world and just destroy your adversaries. It's just kind of cool. All while swinging swords and flails around.
Right, and
game is awesome.
Like we discussed before, you've got kind of the boss type characters, which are the real fights, but then you've got a whole bunch of like little peons that you can wade your way through, and that kind of makes you feel like, yeah, I'm great at this.
Yeah, I'm a big guy, yeah.
Right, and that's cool. That's always super fun. So what...
Yeah, you put it in a good way, Kyle. Like, it's in-depth in that there's just all these nuances that you can take as much time as you want to perfect, or not if you don't want to, and just try to get away with the minimum. You were saying, though?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, when we discussed it before, you had just started playing. So now you've got some games under your belt. What's changed?
What's changed is, well, like I said, the skill level is, there's a little bit of an incline. Like, in the beginning, when you don't know how to block and stuff, it's kind of oppressive that you just kind of wade into situations and you just get hit a lot and you die a lot and it doesn't feel good. But once you get a certain amount of skill, you realize how you can approach each situation in different ways. Then it starts to feel a lot better, and that's when you can really start to build your skill and pick a favorite character and focus on that one.
So you've got a favorite character at this
point? Yeah, I have a favorite character at this point.
Okay, tell me.
Well, I'm kind of bouncing between a couple of them. Like, I started actually playing with the Assassin's classes, which is probably not advisable because they're a little more tricky to play.
Right, I would imagine.
Yeah, like most of the times whenever you want to block in a certain direction, you stay blocked in that direction.
You're like, can't do it.
Yeah, and Assassins, you're blocking there for a limited amount of time. So if you forget that you stop blocking up, then you're just going to get hit a lot. And that's what I started with, and that was not such a great thing.
Who is there a particular class that they've designed to be easier so that, like, this is who you want to start with when you figure out the game? You decided to go hard mode.
I did, yeah.
Because you're Jefferson.
Sounds like me.
That was a bad idea, but now I have learned to appreciate the class I started with, which was Peacekeeper. And now I feel like I can play her a little better, and I know a lot of people are like, boo, hiss, because that's...
Yeah,
the most hated class, I believe.
Well, yeah, there's always going to be a...
Yeah. After that, I started playing as Orochi, which kind of played like the Peacekeeper, but with a couple of other things. And then I realized that the Kensei, which is the most basic samurai unit, was just kind of better for me, I think.
Okay.
It has a lot of same move sets as the second player that I played as, but it's a bigger character, so it's harder to kill.
Yes, and it's more like a tank.
Yeah, it's more of a tanky. It's got more range, so it's easier to hit things. And if you do it right, you can chain up these attacks. The last attack of your chain is always unblockable if you do it right.
Okay.
Which is a damn good thing.
Yeah.
So it's,
I think I asked you this before, but I don't remember what your answer was when you first told me about this game. So the main the thing that they push with the game is that you've got samurai, you got Vikings, and then you've got, what was the third
Knights.
Yep. Knights. And I think when I asked you last time, you said your favorite faction was the Knights.
Yeah.
Has that changed at all?
Yeah, I'm going samurai now.
You like the samurai a lot better now?
Yeah.
What changed that?
What changed is that I discovered Kensei.
Yeah, and
yeah, the Kensei character class.
Now you're playing
just
this with
my best one
with
right
your
now.
Boy.
Yeah, Sweeney and Will are the guys I'm playing with.
Okay,
right
are
now.
They both like? Do you have to drag them into the samurai, or are they both? Are all three of you like, no, samurai? That's who we got.
Well, you don't. It's weird, but it kind of makes sense from a gameplay standpoint. You can play with whatever faction you want and still play in the same side of a game. Yeah.
So you can have a knight, a samurai, and a samurai.
Yeah.
And they just let you play together. That's cool, though.
It is cool, yeah. So I normally play as...
Because otherwise you're going to do... Like you said, there's going to be a lot of arguing. It's like, knights are cooler. No way, man. I'm better at samurai.
Yeah. And so far I haven't really focused on the Vikings yet, even though I feel like Warlord is a very good class that I probably should get into, but...
Right.
It's not like my playstyle too much right now, so
we'll
see how it goes.
On the other side of that, is there a class you've come up against that you absolutely despise?
Yeah.
Like when you see them,
totally.
You're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Damn it. I can know what this one is because we may have been talking about it earlier.
Okay.
And it might just be my favorite class in the game.
Well, there's that one, but the one I really hate is Lawbringers. I just don't like them at all.
Lawbringers?
Lawbringers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's obviously a
they bring
one of the
law.
Knights.
They bring the law.
Lay down the law. Smite you with my sword.
Yeah, well, no, they got giant pole axes.
Pole axes. Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah.
So it's the reach. The reach is what's
the
problem.
They got reach, and they focus on parrying, which is something I've been terrible at.
It's
blocking, but you do one extra step, so it's hard to do, and that's what they base all their attacks on.
Right.
And they're annoying, and I just haven't gotten the hang of fighting them yet. So
basically, you don't want to buy this game unless you've got people who are already playing it that you
that
know.
That does help out a lot, yeah.
Because you're saying the one-player mode is kind of eh,
mm-hmm.
but the multiplayer is where it's at. So
Do multiplayer by yourself, of course.
Oh, yeah, you can play with a bunch of pickup people, but it's obviously mm-hmm. always more fun when
it's
you
always
know
more fun
who's
with
on
your
the
friends.
Other
yeah.
Games like that are always fun when you yeah. get a couple buddies
exactly.
with you.
And I got to give like the biggest shout-outs to Will and Sweeney, because if not for them, I would still be a sucky little noob. Because
yeah, they carried you through your learning phase.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, they carried me super hard. And now I feel like I'm able to actually contribute to.
Yep, yep.
And it'll be a while since I get to either of their skill levels anyway, but...
Well, as we've established, I always buy games way too late.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to playing with you
in
about,
a year.
Yeah, 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, I gotcha. So that has been For Honor. If you haven't already gotten it, it's a pretty good game. The servers are occasionally kind of buggy. So,
oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the case with any online.
Do you think it's because they have a bigger user base right now than they expected?
Maybe. I don't know.
Sometimes that is what happens.
Like, actually, the players are going to boycott it on April 3rd, I believe. So.
Oh, no.
So it's that bad, I guess. But well, let's see what Ubisoft does to
Why April 3rd
it.
Specifically?
I
thought maybe
April
there was
1st would have been a good one, too.
April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Anyway, so For Honor, I'm enjoying it at least.
Right. Where can if people want to play with you on the PlayStation, you want to give
sure.
You want to give your gamer tag out?
Yeah, my my gamer tag is SOLANUM Solanum 12, and find me on there. And
typically they'll find you with a party of two other people who are destroying everything.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, two guys that are vastly better than me, but, you know, I still try my best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you won't be the one to kill them.
Absolutely, yeah.
How many people can you group up with? In?
Well, it depends on which game mode you're doing.
Okay.
Like, duel is one-on-one.
Yeah.
Most game modes, I think, are four-on-four, like elimination.
Okay.
And Dominion. Dominion is the one where it's all the little dudes.
Sure.
And, you're trying to capture objectives. Those ones are 4-on-4. Then there's a 2-on-2. And I think more than that, too. But anyway, so it's more broad than that. There's a lot of different game modes.
Nice.
And you can help laugh at the pitiful attempts as I try to get better at the game, too. So
yeah, I need to get in there because you're just great at everything.
Yeah, so if you wait a year, then you're just not even going to see me in this.
Yeah,
bad
you're
stage.
Already going to be. Yeah, I need to see you at your not great at it yet stage.
Yep.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
In the beginning,
Chuck
put on his headphones, and we were talking in microphones.
In the beginning, there were nerds.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Nerd Radio on Riff 2 podcast. Each week, the podcast can be found on our website, WRAF.com, and on iTunes, Nerd Radio on Riff 2. The show airs live Wednesday night on Riff 2 and your HD radio at 101.1 FM HD Radio 2 and features music not heard during the podcast. Contact us at Riff2Nerds on Facebook and Twitter and email the show at Riff2Nerds@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Nerd Radio on Riff 2 podcast.